Earth, sky.
Sustainably means that you're out there for a long time and that you provide sustainable benefits for the people who live out there and for energy consumers worldwide and for the company. And that you can do through cooperation, through partnerships, which are aimed at minimizing the footprint on the environment, whilst at the same time providing sustainable benefits to people who live out there and for consumers worldwide.
You're listening to Robert Blau talking about oil and gas exploration and development in the Arctic. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science, with a special program in partnership with Shell. Mr. Blau is a senior advisor for Shell International and a recent participant in the Arctic Climate Change Commission. The commission released a report in early 2011 titled The Shared Future. Blau said the report highlighted the need for global cooperation as climate warms and polar ice melts and as tourism and industrialization occur in the Arctic. He spoke candidly about Arctic oil and gas exploration and development and about working with indigenous Arctic people with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Now, what would you say is the main finding of the Shared Future report by the Aspen Institute Commission on Arctic Climate Change?
Well, the Aspen Arctic Climate Change Commission comes out with eight major recommendations on how Arctic governance can be improved in the future. My key takeaway from Shell is that globally, we need to cooperate on science. We need to cooperate on harmonized standards for operating in the Arctic, and also efforts on how we can do emergency response.
Now, tell us about your recent firsthand experience in the Arctic, in the Mackenzie Mountains of northern Canada, working with scientists, monitoring permafrost. What changes in the Arctic did you see happening?
I've been working with Earthwatch, which is one of our environmental strategic partners that we work with. And that was a project to assess the long-term impact of climate change on the permafrost. And we were there when I was there, it was early October, and whereas the climate was pretty mild, it is amazing to see that the permafrost, you can actually tag it with a rod, that it's about half a meter deep in some places, and depending on the geography, 1.5 meters in others. So for me, and the fact that so shallow, you have a permafrost that is hard like rock was quite an eye opener. Now this is part of a longer term time series. I think this project started about 10 years ago, and they have seen a gradual but a very small decline in the permafrost, that the levels are slightly deeper than they were before. But this project will run another number of years, and then the findings will come out. But working with all kind of different people from different walks of life, different industries, different public sectors, and talking about climate change, talking about the environment, talking about the energy, was a very rewarding experience for me.
Now, in considering the potential impact future energy development will make on the Arctic, you've said that not only the environment, but the social impacts to people who live there, their culture, should be considered. Tell us more about what you meant by that.
What I mean to say is that when you go into the Arctic, usually there's not many people living there, but there's a number of people, indigenous populations like Inupiat, who live there already for centuries, and they live off what the land and mostly for them the sea, what it provides to them in terms of livelihood, in terms of the opportunities for hunting whales, and in terms of opportunities for harvesting other animals and also birds. So, when you go out there with proposals to do industrial campaign, it is, of course, very important that you listen to them and see what their concerns are, and then so that you can work with that and minimize your impact, while at the same time provide sustainable benefits to indigenous people. And, you know, that is a long process. You know, yourself, building relationships takes a long time, and especially for people who have been living their lives for centuries in almost the same way.
Mm-hmm. Now, since the Arctic is so vulnerable, why go into it with the goal of resource development? Why is this necessary? And what benefits to Earth's global community might result?
Well, first of all, you need to see this from a global perspective. Glad that you asked the question from a global perspective. You need to look at the energy requirements in the world. And you know, today we are with 6.9 billion people. By 2050, there will be roughly 9 billion. We believe that the energy demand for those 9 billion will be twice the amount of what it is today for the 6.9 billion. So we need to find energy sources, and that will be a whole mix of sources, whether it is renewables, whether it's oil and gas, or whether it's nuclear. And of course, there's a discussion going about that as well. I think we need them all. We need them all, but only if they can be developed in a sustainable way. And that you can do through cooperation, through partnerships, which are aimed at minimizing the footprint on the environment. Whilst at the same time providing sustainable benefits to people who live out there and for consumers worldwide.
Now, what are the main issues that industry sees for operating in the Arctic?
There's a number of key issues. First of all, of course, we need to be able to operate there safely in a very harsh environment characterized by very low temperatures in winter, by sea ice and remoteness from markets and from most cities in the world. At the same time, in our impact that we may have, we should be able to limit that through technology and through designing a program such that, you know, you're only out there when it's absolutely needed, so that you limit your exposure of people to Arctic operations and also make less impact on the traditional communities. Whilst at the same time, provide employment benefits. Now, another key challenge, of course, is to take the fear away on the possibility of oil spills. So further increase the research on prevention of oil spills, and in the remote chance that it would happen, have an answer to oil spills by all possible means. And for that, there's a lot of research programs going out at the moment.
Mr. Blalam, tell us about some key examples of technology utilized in the Arctic to minimize the environmental impact of oil and natural gas development.
Okay, you now mention development of oil and gas and impact that the oil industry must can have. Let's first also talk about exploration, because first you need to find the oil before there's even a chance of developing. So what you need to do there is limit your footprint by suppressing the noise from these drilling vessels and by limiting the discharges and emissions from those vessels. When you go to development, there is drilling techniques that go for extended reach wells, which may be 10 kilometers or more horizontal. And you can then drill multiple wells from one facility, so that with a very limited surface footprint, you may develop a whole field. And these are just a few. But you need to look at the life cycle kind of footprint of your operation and try to minimize that through every single phase. And we are designing for those imprints.
Does Shell have views on Arctic governance and standards?
Shell has been a participant in the Aspen Climate Change Commission and its findings, and as such, we support the recommendations that they make on governance. What we like to see is a more common approach to ecosystem-based management, and that it is shared throughout the Arctic. The general recommendation of the Espen Institute to have a bit of a strengthened Arctic Council with a bit of a stronger a mandate to regulate things in a positive and constructive way is by and large we support that initiative. And as it stands, through the Oil and Gas Producers Association, we do have meetings with the working groups of the Arctic Council when they talk about oil and gas standards, when they talk about environmental standards, when they talk about oil spill response work. So we are in contact with the Arctic Council already, and we look forward to further cooperation, and not just as Shell, but in a larger cooperation with oil and gas companies.
What's the most important thing you want people today to know about our shared future in the Arctic?
The Arctic is a special place. At the same time, development in the world will continue whilst the population grows, and therefore it is important that the resources of the Arctic, and whether that is fish or tourism or oil and gas, that it is developed to the highest reasonable standards, and that it's done responsibly, as such that the Arctic stays that magical place that it is today.
You've been listening to Robert Blau, Senior Advisor at Global Arctic Theme for Shell International. He was a participant in the Arctic Climate Change Commission, a project of the Aspen Institute and Prince Albert II of Monaco Foundation. This program was made possible in part by Shell, encouraging dialogue on the energy challenge. To subscribe to this and other free science interviews, come to our website at earthsky.org. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.